Well, first of all, for me, I think it's a great honor to be part of the process of learning and digging a little bit deeper in the Word of God. And I'm so grateful for this country speaking about materials available for studying. It's just overwhelming. In the old country, you had your Bible, and I know you'd be surprised how much light the Bible sheds on the commentaries, I would say. But it's a lot of tools available. It came to the point that I'm grateful my wife didn't take a picture of the way that I tried to prepare for today. I didn't have a table anymore. I used the bed, and I had everything spread on the bed. So if I'm trying to look almost the same, please don't take it against me. It's an overwhelming, I would say, assignment. I ask myself many times, God, why do let Skip do that to me? But I even ask Skip, so I don't want to get in those details what he said. But he's a grateful man. He's a kind man. Most of all, it's fascinating how much you learn when you dig for yourself. And I consider a great privilege of being entrusted with this, I would say, assignment, because my first person who's listening to what I'm saying, it's God Himself. And I know that there's some basic things that we need to know about salvation is one of them. But ask Skip, also Pastor Skip, for permission to print a sheet also. And it's called, I put it on both sides. I was amazed how well I did with my limited knowledge of computers. On one side, I put the four spiritual laws, and the other one, the Romans Road. Okay? Just a little bit of observation about this little detail. It's a good tool to have in your Bibles. And I would strongly suggest to start memorizing some verses. For me, very favorable, it's the Romans Road. And we'll go through this little process in a short while. I think I can look pretty good at the watch, the clock. it's systematic. Mm-hmm. It goes from one point, it gets to the finish line. And I like the four spiritual law. God bless Bill Bryder, whoever came up with it. But the issue is the people are not, you know, they don't know the bad news first. And that's an issue, usually. In this country, if we do a little bit of a goodies and do some good things here and there, we think that God is impressed with us. Guess what? He's not. And you cannot give somebody a good news until you tell them the bad news. Okay? And now the spiritual laws start, God loves you, John 3:16 loves you so much. And one of the people that I tried to work this on, he had audacity, I would say, to say, I'm lovable. You know, whoa, it put me in the Carlin's mode a little bit. And knowing more about him a little bit more, I said, so because you're so lovable, that's why you got for a dump a couple of weeks ago, right? So it was a little bit of a tough start with him evangelizing from that point of view. But there's some basic things that we need to know. And he said it was a little kid by the name Johnny, got in front of the church congregation to say Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, and he froze. And he didn't know what to say. And after that he said, and that's all what I need to know. And it was finished. There's some basic things in life that we have to go in the aha mode. For instance, when you see the lights ahead of you turning gray, you don't look at the book and say, what those red lights are from in front of my car? Because by the time you put his trunk in your engine or whatever. Okay, so there have to be some things that we can go in automatic mode. The issue of salvation is a key thing that we have to deal with. And to be able to understand it well, and to be able to explain it well, I think the more we understand it, the better we explain it. And I hope that reflects in my message today. But it's an interesting passage, and I'm pretty sure all of us did the readings, what we had to do. It's an overwhelming. I will not go in all of them. I'm going to stay with Romans most of all, because for me, Romans is a key portion of the scripture that I think when Christ mentioned to his disciples in the upper room that I have many things to tell you, but you're not able to bear them. I was thinking, what is he talking? What else do you want to tell them? I was asking myself, what are we missing? You know? And then here comes Paul and writes in Romans. And I want you to take it when you study this. It's a sequence. Get to Romans first. Know it well. Then go to Ephesians. Know it very well. And then go to 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Okay? That's a progression, I would say, from the place where we're dead in sin, in our trespasses, at the end of Thessalonians, we're reigning with Christ. So it's a growing process. Try to study that way. And I'm hooked on Romans at this moment. I don't want to tell you which part of the Romans I'm stuck at this moment, but I like probably to start with chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship, and be not fashioned according to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may be prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The rest of the chapters shows what tools we have to use and how we can serve each other. And I like to stay most focused on these two verses because it's key. It sends us back. The third verse, the fourth verse is, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. What is therefore? It's a conclusion of some kind. And it sends me back to Romans 1. And I think I'm not going to stay much on the whole Romans 1, but I would like to share with you a couple of verses from there that I was worked, that the Lord worked in my life. And I say, this is awesome. This is the gospel, really. And I want to imprint on you also how to use this Roman road process. Stay with the synchronous. Stay with the timing. Stay with a portion when everybody's condemned. Then go to the next stage. We have a tendency to think very good about ourselves. God doesn't. And it's interesting, He initiated our salvation. We didn't reach out to Him. I'm amazed to this day, and I think I'll be amazed at the moment I die. Why did He pick me? And looking around, how did He handle the Jewish people? I mean, I look in the Old Testament, I get a headache. Are you not tired of them? Look what they did. And He gets more patient with them. And you know what? He does the same thing with me. No wonder. And it's mentioned in the first verse that Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ by divine calling, an apostle separated into God's gospel. And that's what we need to study today. What is this God's gospel, which He announced in former times through His prophets in the Holy Scripture concerning His Son? So He was earlier presented that His Son, who was born of David's line according to the flesh and was powerfully demonstrated to be God's Son with respect to His holy spiritual, respect to His holy spiritual body by the fact of rising again of the dead. Even Jesus Christ our Lord, whom we have received apostolic grace, which a view of faith, obedience among all the Gentiles, for His glory, among you were also they called the called of Jesus. You were called the called of Jesus. It was a translation from the Greek text. You are the called of Jesus. So that's our name now. In chapter 11, it's interesting how I want to, in your mind, to understand Romans in few pictures, I would say. One third of the Romans from 1 all the way to 11, included in 11, it's one big portion. They call it the teachings, or they call it the doctrine. It's an interesting word. Some of them, they have goosebump doctrine, theology. It's knowledge. It's how things operate, how things were. That's what we don't have to be afraid of theological terms. It's no big deal. And the second part, the second third from chapter 12 all the way to 16 is the practical part, where the rubber meets the road, we say, right? Now, I arrived here in the United States some years ago, and I was thinking I'm going to get a driver license. I'm going to get in the last day, and then I'm going to have it for 10 years. Got in New York City, Brooklyn, then I had to go to Manhattan, like driving through Manhattan, you drive like through a jungle with a nail clipper, basically. It's a zoo. So having very limited knowledge of driving in Europe, coming here to this country, I realized that they give me only 30 days to change the driver license. And that told me a cup after 35 days. I didn't know that. I thought if I have a driver license, I had it for 10 years. That's good enough. Not quite. So I realized I have to know the laws in this country. Respect what's imposed on you while you volunteer to come in this country. My first crime was not crossing the border. My first crime was driving five days more than the law allowed it. I didn't know. It didn't excuse me. The cop was nice enough. Probably I was not the first in the last case when he said, go to DMV. Then I said, DMV, a dictionary. What's that, you know? Anyway, this is a part of knowledge from first chapter all the way to 11. And they answered a lot of questions. How God deal with sin? How God deals with Gentiles? Sometimes you have questions that people ask you, what does God do with people who never heard about him? Well, they do. The point is they don't want him. People never heard about God. It was Abraham. There are a lot of people. And in chapter 1 and 2 clarifies this issue. Master the book of Romans. I'm in the process of it. I'm growing in it. I'm amazed. I'm in the wow moment all the time. It's amazing how God came to my level. He initiated my salvation. He provided it. And the future is safe also and secure. It's a fascinating book to go through. I want you to learn a new term. Forget about the stores 7-Eleven. Call them 5-Eleven. Okay? Not those stores. The point that I'm referring now. Chapter 5, verse 11, it's a breaking point. Till then, he speaks about sins. Sins are the things that we produced in our old nature. And from chapter 5, verse 12, the next verse, all the way to chapter 8, end of chapter 8, he deals with the root of the problem, the nature in ourselves, right? So, the whole one-third part is split in two again. First part, till 5:11, it's dealing with the sins, the fruit, right? How did it came to that? And many of us, I would say, not you, I would say many of us, realized that before we became Christians, we had problems that we never knew we had them. After I became a Christian, something weird happened. The law, the New York law, got into under my skin and realized, man, you have to stay 20 miles in a zone where they have people which cannot see or kids are crossing or whatever. I don't know. I thought the minimum speed is 35. So after I became a Christian, I found things in my body, in my desires that I never saw before. And now I had a battle on my hand. I said, man, I was probably better off before than now. I had more to struggle with. And my problem, and I beg all you parents, spend time with kids and explain to them why they behave the way they behave. And that's where we are at this moment. We give them an inheritance. I'm not talking about money. From my grandparents, came to my mother, and my mother gave me the inheritance of being short-fused, for instance, one of them. It's not confession time. But I deal with it till today. Somebody cuts me off, I'm not the happiest camper on the place, you know. Not that I commit a major sin that brings me straight to hell. No, it doesn't. But it slows me down. Yes. You know, instead of God using me as a tool for the guy, and it shows further in chapter 12 what to do with our enemies. Oh, that's another issue, right? Not the guy who cut you off. Even worse than that, you know, really does your job. God has to use tools sometimes. And I told my wife, you know, I have an awesome family. I have a good kid. I have a good community where I live, you know. God has to use a tool. And he found someone. I wish probably cut it short at the time. But that's the time of preparation which God has to do the cleaning in my life. And he uses people. He uses events. He uses a lot of things. Always I go back. I say, Lord, what do you want me to learn out of this mess? I really don't like it, you know. But what do you want to teach me? All right? Now, mentioned that we have to deal with the sin and the sins problem. I think it clarified a little more in my life when a lady, a mature lady, came and said, Ovi, you don't give your life partially to Christ. You give it totally. And that doesn't go with 6 days home, you're okay, it's your life, and the seventh day is holy, and that's his. No. He goes, all of them. I say, oh my God, what God has myself went to. The problem is not so more for the kids out there. The problem, I think, is more for the kids in here. Because they're good kids, most of them. Oh, no, all of them, they're good kids, right? They trip here and there. And that's why you have to explain them. You have an evil nature. You are born with it. You are born with a bug in your system. They have to be a major clean out there. It doesn't work that way. Help them navigate through. I missed so much in those days after I gave my life to Christ. This internal battle was in my mind, and I said, what's wrong, God? I mean, I know I love you, but it's bad. So, going back, the central point, the cutting point is the store 5, 5:11, right? I mean, till then, no, you're dealing with the fruits of the sin, the things that you see, the sins, plural, and from that on you do with the nature, the sin. Guess what? After we die with Christ and we're resurrected with Christ, that thing is still in our life. It's interesting. But the point is, it's not the master anymore. He's not in the driver's seat. Amen. Yeah, I mess up, but you know what? Delete. Next. No, I don't go to the next. I'm sorry. I don't crawl on the floor. I don't do weird things to punish my body for that. No. I go on. I go on. I know who saved me. I know who changed my life. I know what investment he put in me. And a few points of reference, which I was thrilled about when I did some studies of such. God has, like I said, procured our salvation of righteousness, say. He revealed it also and he imputed it, like he put it on me. Had nothing to do with me. That's what I say. I wonder, why did he choose me sometimes? I was no good. Basically, that's the first qualification. If somebody, I mean, some people, they said, I'm not religious. I say, good, makes two of us. Let's talk, you know? I say, why? Because the religious people crucified Christ. So let's see what's going on. Now what I want to make a distinction, I don't know if you have a space somewhere on a little paper, but after I read Romans 12, 1 and 2, I was remembered what Huxley, a great English novelist, made an interesting statement and while he said, it doesn't take much of a man to be a Christian. It just takes all of him. I said, whoa. Not partying, no nothing. You're either or. And that's what I'm grateful for, the lady that I mentioned before to you. She said, Ovi, God doesn't go with percentage. God goes with everything or nothing. Don't play games with him. And I struggled for 14 years in my young life. I struggled. Why do I sin? Why am I enslaved to sin? I knew it. All right? Now, let me show you a little bit of a differentiation. Let's say the sins, I put it for the left side, and the sin on the right side. Up to verse 5, of chapter 5:11, the great subject is sins, right? As distinct from sin, which is the outcome of the workings and manifestation of the old natures, as distinct from sin, which is an old nature itself. This letter is treated from 5:12 all the way to 8:39 is mentioned here. Up to verse to 5:11, the fruits of the old tree are first dealt with and are shown to be corrupt workings out of evil, which is by nature in evil man and also in every man, and the principle of which God can justify sinners, Jews and the Gentiles. Now the Jews, like Christian kids, they were, I would say, they had a bit more advanced touch by being closer to God because they knew some type of relation and interacting with God, what's good, what's bad. But they thought they're going to please God by keeping the law, and it didn't work. And guess what? As wretched as sinner we Gentiles were, so were they by trying, not by trusting. Then we remember in chapter 3, 4 about Abraham, that it was how he approached God, by faith, you know. And it's mentioned, then what I liked also, up to 5:11, we are viewed in our natural condition as in the flesh. From 5:12, we are viewed in our position as not in the flesh, but this is so awesome, in Christ. All right? Up to 5:11, it is we who are in the flesh. From 5:12, the flesh that is in us. Up to 5:11, we are viewed as dead in trespasses and sins. While from 5:12, we are viewed as having died together with Christ and risen again in him in newness of life. It's fascinating that we are not in our sins, but sin is in us. It is a great subject of Romans 7, and we feel the emotions and leading of sin. Yes, we feel them most when we try to do good. Sad in this experience, we try to do good and we cannot. An interesting statement that those are those who have been astounded to discover in themselves tendency and desire which they have never before. We spoke about it. But now it's interesting that the members were once under the entire dominion of the old will. All our members, our thoughts, our acts, our doings, you name it. It was under a lion alliance for another master. As Christians, you know, we struggle before we gave our life to Christ. Why do we do these things? And like I said before, we discover things that we were not pleased with. I like to share a story which was so related so good to this conflict between those two natures, the new man and the old one. It's like two tenants. The old tenant can't stand the new tenant. But the new tenant brought the light, brought cleanness in the place, right? The conflict between the two natures may be compared to a ship on which a new captain has been put on board by the owners. The old captain has so long held command, and his enmity to the owner is so great that he has practically treated the vessel as his own and kept the crew in perfect bondage. It's such a good image. The crew have submitted to it, never having known any other authority or understood what a real liberty of service looks like. From time to time, they have heard of it. They have passed other vessels which they saw, and once were very different from their own. But now that the captain is in authority, they begin to find out what the difference is. The new captain henceforth always has control over the helm and charge of the ship. The ship is the same. The crew is the same. Even the old captain remains on board. Why not throw him aboard? Well, that's my way. The book of instructions which the new captain has brought on the board tells that the old captain has been judged and condemned. But the sentence cannot be executed except by the proper judicial authorities when they reach the port. They cannot put him ashore or throw him overboard. Here is my answer. But he no longer holds the helm or guides the ship. He tries from time to time to get hold of the wheel, but in vain. He succeeds sometimes in putting forth his old influence by creating dissatisfaction in some members of the crew. For he knows them and their weaknesses well from his former complete control of them. I like the word former. This is awesome. He occasionally bribes and deceives some of them into acts of insubordination, which they afterwards deeply regret. But old captain cannot get the ship's papers. They are now put quite out of his reach, where he cannot touch them. He cannot succeed in altering the ship's course or change the port on which she is now making. He does not read the book of instruction, and if he looks at it, he doesn't understand it. It's so much of a Roman. I love it. The ship's company were once his executives and carried out only his will, but there is now no obligation for any of them to obey his order or to recognize his authority. They are released from it, and henceforth they are under the orders of the new commander. They are to reckon that the old captain has already condemned, and the sentence is only waiting to be carried out. As to his power over them, they are to reckon themselves as good as dead, so far as he is concerned. It was something that I could relate to. For me, Book of Romans was a challenging. It's difficult how Paul writes. I had to go through two translations to try to sort out what's what. But the Spirit of God gives us wisdom and understanding. Yes, by that time, like the disciples didn't got it, you know. Later they did. We're in a growing process. We're in a process that the most thing what God is interesting in our worship, I would say, it's the companionship with Him. It's the communion with Him. It's He gives us space. He gives us time to grow. He doesn't push us. The way that I see the old the rest of chapter 12 from verse 2 all the way to the end of it that we first read, it sounds like road marks. So like Mark 35, mile 36, mile 37. We don't do them because we have to. His nature in us does them. How we treat our enemies, how we treat each other, how we have the brotherly love growing in our midst. We don't do them because it's a law. I mean, just stay away from it. It's not the Old Testament, the old yoke has been changed with a new yoke. No, it's not such a thing. We volunteer to become His slaves. He's our master. and understood in the old times they were slaves, like Paul said about himself, that he volunteered to be a slave. He wanted to belong to a master. Like I said, for me, it's not even... I hope wetting the appetite is one thing what we can do in our studies. And I know we go through some kind of speed, but slow down sometimes while we're reading the scriptures. With the scriptures, I'm almost the same place as the congregation, but I'm still in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. You know, I say, wow, this is awesome. And I try to stay on that, look around at the skies, you know, wow, I'm still in Genesis 1:1. It's amazing looking at his creation, how it guides me back to him, how it attracts me. That's what I wondered. Why did he spend time with me? You know, but I'm more in love with him. I hate sin as much as before, but I don't sin as much. And when I do, I say, Lord, I'm sorry, and go over it. I'm not going to kill myself or whatever. I straighten the relationship as much as I can, even in our passage came. If it's all depending on all you're living with, all living peace with everyone. Even the Holy Spirit knew that if it's all possible, you know. Some people, you're going to make peace, you know. I'm not going to kill yourself or never be a witness for him because you can talk to your neighbor or what, you know. Bring God in the picture. Bring him in perspective. One of the things what I heard about Henry Drummond, who was a very dear friend of D.L. Moody, put it like this in one of his messages. I think probably had to do with Romans 12:1-2. Ladies and gentlemen, the entrance fee to the kingdom of God is nothing, but the annual dues are everything. I think you would have fewer Christians, you know, filling our chairs if there would be this kind of commitment. We need to put the gospel as this. Put the bad news first. We're dead in our trespasses and sins. Now, how good is a dead? I liked about Abraham, he mentioned, his old age, she was good as dead. You know, I mean, he couldn't have kids, you know, in other words. But we were at that point. And he stooped to us, he provided salvation, he gave us, he pulled us out of the mess, he put us on a solid rock. And I like to close with this. It's mentioned about Watch Money. If you heard of this gentleman and you try to find it on Amazon or whatever, The Normal Christian Life, this is how it ends, the book, The Normal Christian Life. It's an awesome book. This guy was a Christian in China, persecuted. He went through the same struggles as we are. He was in a train a few times, he mentioned about him, and he used to play cards. That was a sin then, you know, I mean, for him was normal. But now his colleagues, after he became a Christian, say, hey, let's play cards or whatever. And he said, I have no hands. What do you mean you have no hands? Look at him back. No, I have no hands. So his members, he thought even his hands belong to Christ. And it's not an issue of a law, but the transformed mind brought him to that conclusion. And look, listen how he finished his book. I always like to think of the words of the great woman Shumam, speaking about the prophet whom she had observed, but whom she did not know very well. She said, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God which passes by us continually, in 2 Kings 4:9. He said, it was not Elisha said or did that conveyed that impression. It was what he was. By his merely passing by, she could detect something she could see. What are the people saying about us? We may leave many kinds of impression. We may leave the impression that we are clever, that you are gifted, that you are this or that or the other. But no impression left by Elisha was an impression of Elijah. It was the impression of God. This matter of impact upon others turns on one thing, and that is the working of the cross in us with regard to the pleasure of the heart of God. It demands that I seek his pleasure, that I seek to satisfy him only, and I do not mind how much it costs me to do so, said Watchmoney. There must be something, he said, a willingness to yield, a breaking of the pouring out of everything to him which gives the release to that fragrance of Christ and produce in others' lives an awareness of need, drawing them out and on to know the Lord. This is what I felt to be the heart of everything. The gospel as its own subject is the producing in its sinners of a condition that will satisfy the heart of God. in order that he might have that. We come to him with all that we have, all that we are. Yes, even the most cherished things in our spiritual experience, and we make know of him, Lord, I am willing to let go of all of this for you. Not just for your work, not to just for your children, not for anything else, but altogether and only for yourself. That's the relationship where I think we're growing in more knowledge of him. I know I studied the Bible not to be a smarter sinner. I studied the Bible to know him more, to please him more. And that's a few things that I learned in my little interacting with the Romans. It's an awesome book. I'm still working on it, and it's still working on me. And let's pray at the end. Heavenly Father, we're so amazed by your grace. You reached us, or we reached out. You prepared the plan of salvation. We were on your mind before we even existed, and you put everything in place for us to walk in the good deeds that you provided in us. And you didn't left us orphaned. You sent us your Son to save us. Then you sent us your Holy Spirit to guide us and to bring us in more of a relationship and a fellowship with you. Help us to treasure every day that you give us, to live in such a way that would please you most of all. And we're searching more for a deeper relationship with you. Thanks for this congregation. Thanks for your word. Thanks for working on our lives and never giving up. All the asking in Son Jesus' name and praise you. Amen.